Hashtag sport with Ash Geerk.
It's Gherke.
Jerky.
Gherke. G-I-E-R-K-E.
Smirky.
Hello, welcome to Hashtag Sport. My name is Ash Gherke. We've got a State of Origin special with the legendary Billy Moore. He's going to be joining the show in a few minutes' time. We're also going to be chatting with him today about junior development in rugby league, women in rugby league, and of course going through those team lists ahead of tomorrow night's big game, which is going to be a doozy. But if you did miss any of the highlights from game two, this is what you missed.
So here we go. In front of about 84,000 people, and Maloney gets us underway for the second game of the series. Holden State of Origin in motion again, and Napa comes back hard, but he's met equally hard by the Blues. As Munster goes second play across to Ender Slater. Chance here, Holmes to Gagai! Gagai has got himself try number nine. It's touch and go, but I think it's okay.
Dane Gagai's knee has contacted the touchline at the same time the ball's gone down. Have a decision.
There you go.
No try.
But it's a real warning shot for the young Blues players that this Queensland side is completely different now.
Long ball away to Munster. Now to Slater, then Inglis, now Holmes. They won't disallow this one.
All happy.
Valentine's got his sixth origin try.
That's been coming.
For New South Wales, Maloney fires a pass. Ed O'Carr goes all the way.
Viewing, if it is not a penalty try, we're looking at a professional foul for the contact on Boyd Cordner.
Yeah, it should be sin bin and it should be a penalty try.
Comes to Munster, on to Inglis, tries to draw them. Valentine Holmes, oh! It found Tedesco like an arrow. So 50 seconds to go and Cook rolls one in, seconds remaining.
Marcus!
Blues have won it! The series has been won by the Blues.
Right now is State of Origin legend Billy Moore. Hello.
Hello, Ash.
It's so nice to have you in here to chat about the Origin because there's so many people we could have got in, but I thought, you know what? I want the most passionate person I possibly can get in the studio with me.
McGregor and Hill and Wishart, etc. I think that they've got to establish something in the middle of the ruck.
Through Stella.
Try and attack on the fringe of the ruck through the likes of Menzies and Pickler.
Billy Moore is obviously very, very pumped up.
How many times have you heard that audio?
A lot. I love it. You never get sick of it. And it's the best 4 seconds of my life.
Yeah.
And I was so lucky. A little bit of a narrative to that. We were in the chain sheds and it was 1995. That call had been in the Queensland camp for about a decade. Just no one ever knew.
Really?
Other than the players. That was our rallying cry. But that was backs to the wall when you're a man's down, you're tired, you're fatigued. That was basically find something extra. And the late, great Peter Jackson told me what it was to be a Queenslander.
Yep.
And he said, it's three things. Help your mate, find a solution, and no effing excuses. That's what Queenslander means. And that's what that core means. It's find something extra. So 1995, Super League War, we've got 10 rookies. We've got no current Australian players in our team. New South Wales, the other side of the corridor where I'm screaming that out, they've got 12 current Australian players. We were long odds to even win the game.
Yeah.
We won the series 3-0. We're in the chain sheds and the great Gary Larson looks at me. He goes, mate, give them some of that Queenslander stuff. Pump them up. And I said, no. So I told these young kids the story I just told you.
Yeah.
About what it was to be a Queenslander, what Jacko told me. And everyone's fired up. We all started screaming Queenslander in the sheds. We've walked down the race. First time they put a camera in the tunnel. I didn't even know it was there.
And really?
The greatest thing in my life took place. The other 16 guys shut up. I've been living off it ever since.
It's so good because there was just so much passion in your voice, and going back and watching it as you are coming through the tunnel, you're ready for war.
Yeah.
You're ready for war. And that same game, you had one of those extraordinary fights as well.
Yeah, we had one of those. I threw 100 punches and they all missed.
Yeah, I remember this. Got some audio.
From everywhere like it was almost a rehearsal. Brawls have broken out. Hopewadi. He might be in his first origin match, but Barnhill's involved.
Well, we've seen plenty of this in Origin. This is one of the best. Have a look at them. Throw them.
What about the Manly teammates, Hopewadi and Moore?
How was that going back to training?
That was fine. It was
really?
Fine. Yeah. Look,
Did you do it for show? Did you guys talk about it afterwards and go, oh, yeah, that was pretty funny for the telecast, but now besties again? Or, like, how did that work?
Yeah, everything had purpose and intent. I threw 100 punches. I wanted to kill him. I just couldn't hit him. He kept moving. Boxing bags don't move, you see. But what was funny about that is we knew they wanted to fight. And how it came about was, like it happens every sporting contest, two teams will have team meetings.
Yep.
Get on a bus, go to the ground. So we had our team meeting. New South Wales had theirs. The other side of the city, it was in Melbourne, that game.
Yeah.
They had their meeting in a hotel room, the other side of the city from us. Their coach, Phil Goulds, walked in and gave this powerful, succinct speech.
As he always does.
He's theatrical, yeah. he walked into the room. He said, 3 weeks ago, you got beaten by a bunch of bums. He said, that Queenslander call that Billy Moore said, if anyone says Queenslander tonight, I want you to punch him. That was their whole tactics, right? Our coach, Fatty Vorton, one of his mates was part of the New South Wales team. He's run out of the room and rang Fatty and told him exactly what Phil said. So he's walked into our team meeting.
Oh, that's so good.
The other side of the city. 30 seconds later, he's walked in and said, guys, I know the tactics tonight for New South Wales is not pretty. If you say Queenslander, you're going to get punched. Who's going to say it? Boom! 17 hands go straight up.
Really?
So we go to the first scrum. Now, this week it's a bit tricky, Ash.
Okay.
We know what they're thinking, but they don't know we know it. And for a rugby league player, that's pretty confusing. So
not surprised.
We go to the first scrum. Our front row screams Queenslander, and they've come up ready to go. The New South Wales scrum's packed. Oh, they broke it apart, and you can just see for a fraction of a second they've gone, Queenslander. There's something about Queenslander. What was that? And our blokes start punching. Wow. And we start the fight. And it's just erupted, and everyone's just, oh, let's get into it. And I'm at the back of the scrum, and I've come running around, and I'm looking for someone to fight with. And, mate, you're busy, and Paul Harrigan's busy, thank God.
Yeah.
Mark Carroll's busy, thank God. And anyway, all of a sudden, Barney looks at me, and I look at him, and we're good mates.
Yeah.
And he goes, mate, what do you reckon? Because he's got a crush, right? What do you reckon? And I said, sweet. He goes, right on, let's dance. We both threw 100 punches they missed.
Oh, that's so good. Because it did. It looked intense. But, like, I mean, now looking at these days, there's so many things. Even the basketball incidents last week between Australia and the Philippines, there was that massive brawl there and spectators were throwing chairs at the Australian guys. Where's the line? Do you know what I mean? I mean, where's the line? Because we look at this as a legendary game. You know, we look at this and go, that was awesome and that was great entertainment. But nowadays, you know, that's back in 95. Now we look at it in, 2018 and the Australians versus the Philippines and we go, oh, that's really bad sportsmanship from both sides.
That's a great point. The line's drawn by current day conscious public opinion.
Yep.
What they deem as being, I suppose, the point too far. So that was 95. Fighting was acceptable in rugby league. And it wasn't mandatory, but it was part and parcel. I started in Sydney in 89, and the game was a lot more barbaric then.
Yeah.
I've seen footage of the 70s. Thank God I didn't play then, because what was condoned in the 70s was barbarism. And that now is no way to be acceptable.
No.
That stopped in the 80s. And now, in 2012... Rugby League got a new administration in the Independent Commission, and the first head of that was a guy from Wales. He knew nothing about rugby league. He was ex-military, Dave Smith. He came in, and the first couple of weeks, there was the usual scuffles on the field, and there was an all-in brawl in State of Origin.
Yeah.
And he came out and said, that's it. If anyone throws another punch on the field, you immediately get sin bin for 10 minutes. Stopped fighting immediately, and there's been, I think since that point, there's probably been two or three punches thrown in the NRL.
Wow.
It's just not acceptable.
Yeah. Because there's a lot of people, I mean, even in the State of Origin, if it does get to that point, there's a lot of people in there who just kind of grab the jerseys.
Yeah,
that's not really considered as a fight, is it? That's just a little scuffle.
So what you do, that line's drawn the scene. You go to the point where, you know, I can get away with this. If I go over the line, hopefully it's a good punch because otherwise I'm going to get penalised heavily.
Yeah.
And the coaches say don't do it. So to answer your question, the line has moved, and I've seen it move in my career. And basically it reflects what social standards are acceptable, and fighting the one punch can kill campaign has just stopped it all dead. And that the athletes today that play rugby league, they're no less tough as the guys that I played.
Yeah.
You don't need to fight to be tough.
No.
There's a saying I love, fatigue makes cowards of us all.
Yeah.
And today's game is so much faster than mine that these guys, they're athletes. The fact that they don't fight doesn't matter at all. They're still incredibly tough, just in a different sphere.
Yeah. Right? All right, up next, we're going to go back to where it all started for young Billy Moore. Back soon. Calandra City Super, they've got the best used car for you. Now, I'll tell you why. Because, well, you get to go in there and sit in their comfy lounge, grab a bit of a coffee. You know, if you want extra frothy on it, you can have it. And they won't hold it against you. Plus, they'll also search over 2,300 used cars Australia-wide for you. So you get to do the easy stuff by having a coffee. They do all the hard work for you. And if in 7 days you don't like it, you can bring it back for 100% money back. Plus, they'll also give you a $100 fuel card as well. We're talking fixed price servicing, 120-point safety check, Zupra protection plan, and 24/7 roadside assist as well. So you can just feel confident. You walk in there and you go, oh, no, I'm going to get the best deal in town. Calandra City Zupra, go and check them out today. Right, back with Billy Moore. Thanks again for joining us for our State of Origin special, Game 3 tomorrow night.
Go the Queenslanders!
There it is. See, I was waiting for that to happen. So organic. Hey, you grew up in Wollongarra in Queensland. Now, how many brothers and sisters do you have?
I've got three older brothers. So I say I'm the product of evolution. Yeah, it's funny. In the town, Wollongarra is 300 people. It's the most southern town in Queensland.
Really?
And it's a border gate town. My house is 50 metres the Queensland side of the border. True. And my parents aren't alive anymore, but the house is with my cousins. They own it now. So it stayed in the family. So every morning I'd wake up and I'd see the enemy. There it was across the train tracks. And 50 metres away was New South Wales. And
So you always knew you were going to be Queenslander through and through, and not even that close to New South Wales could tempt you.
Well, actually, Wollongarra's too small. There's no hospital in Wollongarra.
Okay.
So 7th of May 1971, when my good self was born, the nearest hospital is Tenterfield, New South Wales. So 18 kilometres south, I was born there, but my mother assures me I didn't take a breath till I was back in Queensland.
Okay, good. That's the main thing then, isn't it?
I'm clean.
I love that you feel like you need to explain that so much, too. It's even better.
People go on Wikipedia and see that Billy Moore from Tenterfield, the Queenslander, and they bring it up and I just crush it every time. I didn't take a breath till I was brought back across the border.
Exactly. Hey, as a legend of the game now, in Australia, where do you think the junior development's at as far as rugby league goes?
Very, very strong.
Yeah.
Basically today, if you are good enough, you will be found. So it doesn't matter, rugby league, from a Queensland point of view, if you're from Coolangatta to Cape York, if you're good enough, that they'll find you.
Yeah.
Rugby league is, for want of a better word, it's in a battle for young kids' minds and hearts with some of the other football codes, namely AFL, which is massive. And their grassroots is the best.
Is that Auskick, isn't it? Yeah.
That's the best program. Rugby league is catching up. It's behind. And it took for granted for too long that it had a mortgage on especially Queensland and some parts of New South Wales. And that's eroded away very quickly.
Yeah.
Because the AFL's come in, which is good. It's competitive. It keeps rugby league honest. So rugby league is very mindful of getting out to the hearts and minds of young people, and especially the gatekeepers, which are the mothers.
Yes.
Which I think is paramount. And seeing our game, while we look at what we see on the TV is this collision-based sport, and rugby league is that.
Yeah.
It's still very safe, and the injury level at the younger age, because it's modified, is very, very low. And I've got two little boys now, 9 and 12. One plays mini, one plays mod. And at 13, you go and play the next level up, which is international rules, which we'll see on TV.
Yep.
But for the first 6 or 7 years, you don't play that game. But you still learn to tackle. There's still collision. And you need to do that because rugby league is a collision-based sport.
Now, do the coaches that coach these junior teams, they've got to have a certificate before they can coach to obviously teach them how to tackle properly and how to kick and how to be safe on the field?
100%.
Yeah.
Very, very strict at that. And it's great that it is.
Yeah.
And that they have to do coaching courses. And what they're trying to do is, yes, make it safer for the kids, but also more enjoyable.
Yeah.
They don't want old Tom to turn up in his ute and go, well, I've been doing this for 40 years. I know what I'm doing. And he does the same drill day after day.
Yeah.
So they want to try and coach the coaches
yeah.
and make it safer. I actually run the water for my son's two teams and assistant coach. I had to go and do a course.
Yeah.
To run the water. So they're very mindful of making it as safe an environment as they can.
Yeah.
And crowd control and making it an enjoyable experience, because there are so many more choices in sport these days. And
yep.
If someone has a bad experience, I'm in the world of small business. And if someone comes into my business and doesn't enjoy the experience, well, they're not going to come back.
So no.
You've got to make it as enjoyable for everybody. And that means safety.
Absolutely. And I guess now that we've got women included in the sport as well, which is amazing, by the way, that State of Origin game, which we'll get to in a second, was unreal. But even starting that at a grassroots level now, I guess that's got to be good for the sport too.
Girls used to play. When I first started playing rugby league, girls didn't play.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're coming back 40 years ago.
Mm.
But in my, let's say, early 20s, I noticed the girls started to play, and that they would play juniors up to the modified. So as soon as it got to 13s, they stopped playing girls.
Yeah.
And there was nothing from 13. And then all of a sudden, they started playing at a senior level. But there was a massive gap between 13 and, let's say, 18.
Yeah.
There was no girls rugby league. That's all changed as the pathway now, 13s, 14s, 16s, 18s. And like all women's sport, sorry, all sporting codes, they realised half the marketplace is women.
Mm-hmm.
And women do control so much around the house that if they buy into your sport and they're participating, they become the greatest advocates of portraying your sport in a positive light. So women's sport in the football codes especially has just taken off.
Yeah, and now with the State of Origin as well, I mean, that was unreal. New South Wales came away with the win over in Sydney there. But it's nice to see a sport come alive. And I know they copped a little bit of flack, and that's always going to happen, especially for these first few years. And I must admit myself, like watching it, those first few tackles was a little confronting as a spectator. But once you get past that, you're like, they're so talented at what they do. They hit hard, they get up, they do their job, and they're just as tough, aren't they?
Oh, definitely. I saw my first women's game at a high level at the same ground, North Sydney Oval. We're going back about 20-odd years ago when I was playing down the Bears, and I saw Australia play England in rugby league up at North Sydney Oval, and I could not believe it. I was watching this going, that can't be right. As you said, it was confronting seeing women tackle each other, and then you watch the skills and you go, that's about as good as I can do it. And when I was at my best.
Yeah.
And what I noticed with the women's rugby league, it's a much cleaner game.
Mm.
It's actually rugby league played probably my era a little bit before, in the sense that there's no wrestling, there's no stifling. It's good, pure rugby league. The skill is draw and pass, get the ball out to the wing. It's great to watch. And the most important thing for women's sport, when you want actually to have it perpetuate, it must do one thing: entertain. And that's what it's doing. And I have so many people that watch that game, that a million people watched it on TV.
Wasn't that ridiculous?
And everyone said the same thing. How entertaining was it?
Yeah.
That's how it'll survive. Forget about anyone going, oh, that's inappropriate.
Yeah.
That'll get washed away if people go, hey, it's good fun to watch.
Yeah, did you see it? And then they tell a friend and they tell 10 other friends. And, you know, it goes on. I think that's one question that I had today, was just knowing where development in sport is going, because on the obesity epidemic that we've got going on, it's always good to see that development is always still strong, especially in the sport of rugby league. So when we come back, we're going to get into the team lists for Game 3 of State of Origin. I need to tell you about Caloundra City Zoo Bar. They've got the best used car for you, because you can visit their comfy lounge and relax with a coffee as the team search over 2,300 used cars for you Australia-wide. So you know you're getting the best used car possible. Now, here's the thing. If you don't like it, and within 7 days, you can actually bring it back for 100% money back. Plus, they'll also give you a $100 fuel card as well. All right. So what better way to say we're happy, we're confident with these used cars that we've searched for you, and if you want it, it's all yours. Fixed price servicing, 120-point safety check, Zupa protection plan, and 24/7 roadside assist as well. So you can just feel so confident and safe while you drive away in your new used car purchase. All you have to do is go and see the team today at Caloundra City Zupa. Billy Moore, Origin legend. Thanks again for joining us. Back with the team list for Game 3, State of Origin, in Brisbane tomorrow night. This is going to be a doozy of a match, even though, well, let's face it, and we hate to say, New South Wales have come away with the win. But looking at this new team list with Queensland, it's quite intense. I mean, we've got Greg Inglis out with a broken thumb. Billy Slater, he moves into captain. What do you think we can expect from Billy?
On fire.
Yeah.
Let me just start by going back one step. Dead rubber and State of Origin at Suncorp Stadium doesn't go together. It just doesn't matter. This game will mean a hell of a lot to millions of people.
Yeah.
And namely those 17 names that you've got in front of you. It's very, very important. Starting with the number one, his last game, 31 games, Billy Slater. He wears the C beside his name. So he's now a Queensland captain. So years from now, he'll look back and go, hey, I captained Queensland.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit like, I'll draw a bow here for all our listeners that follow Origin closely. Arthur Beetson captained Queensland once, his first ever game, the first ever one in 1980, and that was his proudest moment, he says. I would say Billy Slater will put this on the same shelf. And game two, he was 35 years and 6 days old. He was the best player on the field.
Yeah. Oh, he was. Yeah.
To me, he actually crystallised. They talk about the big four that came through together. Cameron Smith, Jonathan Thurston, both will be immortals. I guarantee you that. You had Cooper Cronk, who's a very good player. He's not quite at that same echelon. Billy Slater, to me, transcended. I wasn't quite sure. But right now, I think, based on the back of what I'm seeing from a 35-year-old, he will become an immortal. So he'll have a cracking game. He'll be a great leader. He talks heaps in defence. He's the best talking fullback in history.
Yeah.
That's one of the strings to his bow. But as a captain, I think he'll be more, follow me, boys. Do as I do, and he'll lead from the front.
Well, I think you could really notice the difference between the two games. Obviously, game one when he was out versus game two when he was in there, and already within that first 10 minutes of the game, you're like, Billy's here.
Yeah.
Billy's ready to dance. Like, he did such a great job of creating play and creating space and whatnot. Obviously, Valentine Holmes is going to remain on the wing. Dane Gagai moves to the centres to replace Inglis.
Yep.
And then Corey Oates, which I think is also nice to see him on the wing because he's been playing some pretty good footy for the Broncos.
It's a tragedy that we've lost two players in the way. Inglis, who's been fantastic, been a great captain's knock for this series, and losing young Ponga, because what a wonderful player he's been. Oh. I want to see more of him.
Sensational,
I have to wait next year. But the best thing about the injury to Inglis is, he's one that Slater's a captain, but secondly, Corey Oates gets a crack, as you said. Mm. No player has got a better highlights reel from 2018 than anyone in the whole league, but couldn't make Origin. Because there was no spot for him, because Holmes and Gagai deserve to be there, and they've played really, really well.
Yeah.
Oates couldn't get in, but now there's a spot opened up. So look to him also. I think he'll have a big game because he'll know this is his chance. If he wants to be back in 19, if he can lead us to victory, play a big contribution in us winning the match, he will be a key member for next year. And he'll leave a positive memory on the coach's mind.
Dane Gagai, what, he's running at 36 kilometres an hour. I thought that was his top speed. Mm. And Valentine Holmes at 32. That is insane. That is so quick. And I think Usain Bolt runs at about 40, maybe 42 or something like that. So, you know, we've got some extraordinary athletes in this Origin game as well. But who do you reckon is going to be the standout? Do you think it's going to be Billy Slater?
I think Slater, for mine, will have an amazing game as captain, as I said. And this will be his last Origin game. And to have it at Queensland, the roar that he'll get when he comes out will be berserk. It'll be worth the price of entry just to hear that.
Yeah.
For us Queenslanders, for us to win, he's probably, there's an anomaly here in the sense of, enigma in Daly Cherry Evans, the boy from Mackay. He's been polarising figure for a number of years, and he gets his crack.
Yeah.
He gets his chance to come in. And Kevvy Walters said he's there for two reasons, his leadership and his controlling of the game. Ben Hunt's moved back to the bench. And I think that could suit Ben, take the pressure off him. And he'll come on at nine, which would be really interesting to see, because I think his future may lay at nine in the Queensland team, because I can just see Munster and Ponga. Ponga's going to be a one next year. Munster's always going to be a six. So seven's going to be hard, because I think Michael Morgan will be probably the number one half for us. So DCE's chance. Last time he was there, he played beside a bloke called Jonathan Thurston. And as great as it is to be around Thurston, when Thurston wants the ball, he gets it. So it upsets DCE's rhythm, and this will change this time. He'll get the ball when he wants it, where he wants it, how he wants it. So this will be his chance. And as I said about, along with Corey Oates, if those two guys, Oates and Cherry Evans, want to be back in this side in 19, they've got to show us something tomorrow night.
It's so odd, I mean, this time round and this year alone, because you've got Cam Smith out of the picture, who is obviously just such a sensational leader in itself. And now you've got Billy Slater in there as well. But James Tedesco, he had an amazing game for the Blues in game one. I think game two, they really looked like they shut him down a lot. But if you were to pick an Australian fullback right now, who would it be?
Based on the fact that Billy's not going to probably play on and put his hand up, it would be Tedesco.
Yeah.
Yeah, he actually has shown his quality. I was concerned with Freddie Fittler picking the side because he picked informed players and he had a theory. And the starting premise of his theory was get rid of the old, get rid of the past, and cut away all the scar tissue from the decade of Queensland running out of the top of New South Wales.
Yes.
And that's why a lot of guys got punted.
Would have been hard in itself to do.
That's right, because some of the guys that got dropped probably didn't deserve to be dropped,
but
he got rid of them. And I always feared Tedesco and Damien Cook. Mm. Now, there's another guy, if you picked an Australian side, he was struggling to get a first-grade start 18 months ago, and now he will be the Australian hooker. So what Queensland did, you talked about how they contained in the second game.
Yes.
What we did is we cut the head of the snake off, and that was Damien Cook. Our defence around the ruck really stiffened up, so there was nowhere down the middle for Cook and Tedesco where they killed us in game one. We shut that down. So expect similar this one.
Yeah.
This will be a great, exciting game because there's nothing to lose.
No.
New South Wales already won. Mm-hmm. So they are dead set keen on getting a whitewash. Freddie would want to really rub our noses in it. And Queensland want to stop this. The reason being, in 2014, we actually were in the exact same position. We were down 2-0, and the third game, a dead rubber, was going to be played at Suncorp Stadium. We won 32-8.
Wow.
And what was significant about that is, it created momentum for us.
It's such a good feeling too, by the way.
Right, it was hollow for them to get the shield. They got thrashed.
Yeah.
But what it did actually gave us momentum because we won the series 15, 16, 17, won the next 3 years. And I reckon the way we finished off in 14 was the start of building momentum. So this game, as I said, is not a dead rubber. It's incredibly important. And this game will resonate for a long time. So Queensland need to play well. We need to win because they're such a young side in New South Wales. We want to actually leave a little bit of a shadow of a doubt in their mind. So in the back of the mind, go, we won the series, but we got beaten at Suncorp because they've got to come back here next year.
Yeah, I think it's such a, you're right, I think it's such a nice thing that we do have a bit of a younger side too with the Queensland. There's some new blood in there as well. We've got so many guys who are great athletes, like we were saying, you know, before with Dane Gagai and Valentine Holmes, just on the wings and in the centres there. That is incredible. Then you've got Billy Slater as well. Game three, it's going to be an absolute doozy. Tomorrow night, will you be there?
I will be there. Yes, yes. I'm just quickly in my mind, I was trying to think the last time I missed a game. You've got to go back a decade at least.
Really?
Actually, I do know the last time I missed a game was the birth of my first son.
Okay, well, you know what? That's fair enough.
Yeah. Well, begrudging. So that's 12 years ago. So every game is special. Every game is magnificent. And what I love about going to Lang Park is the buy-in factor of the crowd.
Yeah.
They go crazy. And I love being part of it because I'm crazy too.
Billy Moore, you are an absolute legend. Thank you so much for joining us. It's always good to talk Origin from a true Queenslander. But thank you so much and good luck for the game tomorrow night, hey?
I'll be good. I won't make a mistake. And to all our Queensland fans out there, Queenslander will win, don't worry.
Billy Moore, always a pleasure. You've been listening to Ashtag Sport. My name is Ash Gerke. Don't forget that you can rate, review and subscribe on iTunes or you can head to my website, ashgerke.com. Catch you next time. See ya. We'll